Following the Supreme Court's decision to redefine marriage, it's a new America. You are about to meet two men who say the USA will never be the same. Stay with us.
Things have dramatically changed. We now have, according to the Pew Research poll, we have 62% of Protestants now favor same-sex marriage. We're right about 56% of the Catholics favor same-sex marriage, and it's continuing to go in that direction.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan opens the program today with White House News correspondent Bill Koenig. Bill's here to talk about the Supreme Court's recent decision that has so many Americans concerned for their nation. Later in this hour, Jan will be joined by First Baptist Church of Dallas senior pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress. One of our conference speakers this fall and a prolific writer, Dr. Jeffress is a regular contributor to Fox News. His latest book is titled Countdown to the Apocalypse, Why ISIS and Ebola Are Only the Beginning. Now let's join Jan Markell and Bill Koenig.
And welcome to the program. And I'm sure most of you know that in late June, America forgot the God who made us great. Who else did that? Ancient Israel. And there were consequences, and there will be again. You know, we thought that when the Clintons named June as Gay Pride Month, that was an abomination. And the current crop of leaders took it to a whole new level. They are rejoicing that now it is the law of the land that men can marry men and women marry women. And the White House was ablaze with rainbow colors that some weeks ago now. My guest for this segment says that life in America will never be the same. What happened in late June, thanks to the Supreme Court, is just the beginning of a spiral that will have no end. He's actually echoing the sentiment of many. Every perversion known to man will want to have the same approval, and they may get it. So my guest for this segment is White House correspondent Bill Koenig. He's my frequent radio guest speaker at six of my Understanding the Times conferences since 2002. We'll give contact information and his newsletter information just a little bit later. And he writes in one of his more recent newsletters, he talks about the 12 reasons the Supreme Court decision on marriage will stand and life in America will never be the same. That's what he has written in that particular newsletter. Bill Koenig, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. Always great to be with you.
You know, God-fearing and God-honoring, Bible-believing Christians, and you say this, I mean, evangelicals who understand the seriousness of the sinful times, and then you say, you know, most people don't understand that, but true Bible-believing Christians do understand that, and to hear what you're writing is kind of give-up talk, and I don't know if you plan on doing that, so what are you really saying?
No, that's one thing I'll never give up, but I understand. I think what we're dealing with, Jan, and as you as well, as being somewhat pragmatic. You know, when you look at the situation over the last 10 years, and especially the last 6.5 years that Obama's been in office, I watched very closely for the last 10 years the mainland Protestants church's position on the gay marriage or the homosexual marriage situation, and even before that, just the talk of that type of relationship. And at one time it was 80-20 opposed by a lot of the Protestant churches, and it was 70-30 opposed to any type of ordination marriage acceptance within their churches. Then it was 60-40, and then it accelerated dramatically after Barack Obama became president, and the day that he was being sworn in, the LGBT agenda under civil rights was being posted on the White House website. A lot of that has been watered down, but it's still pretty significant if you went into whitehouse.gov today and read it. So things have dramatically changed. We now have, according to the Pew Research poll, we have 62% of Protestants now favor same-sex marriage. We're right about 56% of the Catholics favor same-sex marriage, and it's continuing to go in that direction, where 70% of the evangelicals say no way.
You write in your newsletter, you say, and this is a terrible indictment on the current administration, but you say the Obama administration has filled major cabinet and administrative leadership positions in employment, commerce, education, the military, and others with LGBT activists, now estimated at more than 250 people. And then you say the U.S. media and their leadership are overwhelmingly pro-LGBT and or members of that community. And then you say they have marginalized and or attacked anyone who opposes their agenda, and then you conclude the movement has cleverly used the words marriage equality, respect, and dignity, and now love wins, all this in an attempt to appeal to the hearts of people. So from the day this man was inaugurated, this stuff has started to accelerate, and you've been documenting that. It's not new news to me. It might be to some other folks.
No, absolutely. This is something that was planned 25-plus years ago. A couple of Harvard PhDs put a plan together on how to make America become desensitized to the gay and lesbian lifestyle, and it's been followed to a T. For the lack of a better word, it's been masterfully implemented. I'd say 85 to 90% of the media is totally in the LGBT camp, and all we ever hear is these kind of words that you just used, the positive,
right,
heartfelt love, emotion, all of that type of attachment, and it has been very effective. And anybody that comes against the LGBT agenda is maligned horrifically. It is a very significant frontal attack upon them personally. And then you also have a lot of the major corporations.
That's right.
That have become part of this. 80% of the Fortune 500 companies have come out very much in favor of LGBT and the whole agenda, but they have activists, as I mentioned, over 250 in key positions within the Obama administration, in high-level positions, if not even running cabinet positions, as well as just employment-related, education-related. They are all over. And they've also worked their way into key positions within corporations. They even run corporations, such as the fellow that runs Apple. You sit back and look at how this thing has been implemented and also how people have been desensitized, especially the X generation and the millennials, who are over 70% in favor of same-sex marriage. And that keeps growing. It's a force, Jan. That's the reality that we're dealing with.
Let me just play. This is just a 30-second clip. This is a president of the United States basically saying to the world, you know what, sin is pretty cool. This was back on June 26th, 27th, right after the Supreme Court decision.
I had a chance to do the Rose Garden celebration of the court decision around same-sex marriage. I did not have a chance to comment on how good the White House looked in rainbow colors. That made it a really good week. To see people gathered in an evening outside on a beautiful summer night and to feel whole and to feel accepted and to feel that they had a right to love, that was pretty cool. That was a good thing.
As you say, Bill, couched in terms that make it sound so right.
Exactly. So innocent. You know, everybody has the right to love and should love, and playing to the heart.
Yes, playing to the heart. Thank you.
And that's where this whole agenda and whole movement has been so effective, is playing to the heart. And those people, like ourselves, that look to the Bible and what the Bible says, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, is very specific that the Bible and God opposes this lifestyle. That's the bottom line.
Let me ask you this. First of all, I'm quoting you here again. Folks, if you'd like to get Bill's weekly e-newsletter, and it's just pennies a day, it's a Koenig's Eye View from the White House. Bill's been a White House journalist since about 2001, I guess it is, Bill.
Yes.
It's an e-version once a week, and I wouldn't be without it. So watch.org, WATCH.org, for all that information. But I'm quoting you here, and you say, a majority of the American church attendees don't believe God is going to judge the world. And then you say, I think we are headed for where Europe is, where religion, particularly Christianity, plays no part whatsoever in public policy or public life, the world. My goodness, I mean, the Bible is all about judgment from cover to cover. So where do you think, Bill Koenig, where do you think righteous people go from here? How do we even pray? Because you start out, this was your letter of your newsletter that came out after, well, this was very recently anyway, 12 reasons the Supreme Court decision on marriage will stand and life in America will never be the same. Where do righteous people go from here?
Well, with that said, too, and another important component to this, Jan, that we haven't addressed yet is the fact that the Supreme Court is no longer an arbitrator of the Constitution at important moments. Not all issues, but some of these public opinion-oriented positions that are in direct opposition to God and His Word, taking prayer out of the schools, multiple abortion decisions, decisions on same-sex marriage, and even this year saying that an American born in Jerusalem can't include Israel in their passports. That is a big issue, Jan, and that's part of the reason, and when I talk to people such as your audience and others, this is a reality, unfortunately, we're going to have to live with. We have a Supreme Court that makes decisions based on public opinion rather than what the Constitution says or what the Constitution intended. So what we need to do, we hear about revival frequently. As Ann Graham Lotz and our pastor Lon Solomon speaks of, revival begins with us individually, and that we need to get our lives in order. And we need to be that salt and light again that draws people to Jesus, to our faith, to our beliefs. And we do have a loving God. God is love. I mean, my gosh, He sent His Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. There's no greater love. But we also have a just God. And unfortunately, this process of all these moral battles that's taking place across America, we hear love, 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 but we don't hear the fact that also we have a just God.
Right.
And if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and fully believe the inerrant Word of God, God is going to judge the world for its sins at the end of time. And we're a small part of the church. Evangelicals are a small part of the church that has a healthy, God-honoring, God-fearing attitude in life and believes this and knows this and lives their life accordingly. When you talk about 56% of the Catholic Church and 62% of the Protestants opposing, or not opposing, but agreeing with same-sex marriage versus 70% of the evangelical church says, this is wrong. That's a great indicator of what we're dealing with. And the only way we can change that is revival through prayer and revival in our own personal lives.
I don't read that in the Bible, Bill Koenig, and that's who I'm talking to for this segment. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. And Bill's been in the White House for a number of years now. Bill and I have been working with you since 2002, and we talk about a lot of these things publicly and even privately, you and I. I don't see end-time revival. There's going to be a revival during the tribulation. The 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to be roving the earth, leading countless thousands, probably millions, to faith. I don't see that happening before that.
Yeah, I've had some interesting discussions with you, Jan, and I'm having some more recently with others. And I think when you look at the direction of things and how things are headed, not only in our country, but in Europe and especially Israel,
yes,
the Middle East, I mean, how does this work?
Yes.
How does this happen? And then I do talk to some friends and other people that are very God-honoring, God-fearing people that believe that God will give our country one more chance.
It's possible. Do you feel that's possible, Bill?
Well, I haven't sensed that, Jan, and you and I haven't sensed that for a long time. It's still out for thought. I haven't felt that. I really haven't. I believe that we're so close to the Lord's return that very likely won't happen. It won't, but it's very possible.
Did you ever think in your lifetime, and particularly since you began working there in Washington, that you would see such out-of-control lawlessness?
No. No, never. No, and Senator Cruz, has spoken of lawlessness, and we're starting to see courts fighting the legislatures, and legislatures fighting the courts. Our Congress then have the Supreme Court overturn their legislation. You know, situation in Oklahoma right now where Supreme Court in Oklahoma 7-2 said no to the Ten Commandments in the public square, and the governor said, no, we're going to leave it up for now. This is lawlessness, and I agree. In the past, you might be able to get some folks together of like mind that could stand up against anything and be successful when it came to moral Judeo-Christian values. And I don't see that today because I hear over and over and over again, the feet of those people that want to see Judeo-Christian values continue to be the foundation of our country.
Bill, there's coming a tremendous convergence of things probably this fall, and I'm not going to get into the dates and even all the things that are going to happen, but an interesting convergence. And I think since you and I look at the signs of the times, I think the key word to the signs of the times is in fact convergence, as they converge here in the last few years and in the ensuing couple of years. And then also there's a recent poll that says 72% of Americans fear an economic crash. The concern is highest ever. You document some of these things. What do you see on the horizon? And let's leave the Supreme Court issue aside. I'm talking convergence. I'm talking about things that could all come together in the coming next 3 to 6 months. What's on your agenda?
When I speak, I mentioned that now virtually all final day markers are in play, where in the past it might be two or three or four at a time. But today it's becoming extremely challenging staying up with the 12 final day markers. Israel, what's taking place with the state of Israel,
mm-hmm.
What's taking place in the Middle East with Iran, with Egypt, Syria, what is Russia doing, what's happening with the European Union, what's happening with the economies of the world, and I've been watching the China situation mm-hmm. very closely
yes,
the last four
yes.
or 5 days. That is a very significant issue, and they're starting to compare it to 1929 in the United States. And then the cyber concerns that we have. I mean, look what's happened to our markets, you know, financial markets. Something could happen to those that we've completely take them off trading. The European Union's desire to put more pressure on the state of Israel for the sake of peace, and I might add that the euro began its collapse on December 17th of 2014, the day that the European Parliament voted overwhelmingly 488-98 in favor of a mm-hmm. Palestinian state. And I think a lot of us are very much tuning into the economic potential problems going ahead. HSBC, one of the largest banks in the world, stated recently, everything we have done to improve the economies of the world have not been effective, and we've ran out of options to use.
Mm.
Here in America, we've seen the Federal Reserve provide $4 or $5 trillion. But we still have a relatively weak economy. European Union has some countries with double-digit unemployment, big problems, big foundational problems. And then we have the situation in the Middle East with Iran becoming the powerhouse they are with their weapons. So there's just so many things that are taking place, Jan. Only God knows how it's all going to play out. But I think between now and the end of the year, it's going to be somewhat spectacular and somewhat awe-inspiring and pretty remarkable.
Well, we're never bored, are we, Bill?
No.
Never bored when we're watching the signs of the times. And folks, we encourage you to be watchmen on the wall as well. That is kind of the calling, according to Ezekiel 33:6, to always keep an eye out. Again, if you'd like more information on the ministry of Bill Koenig, which is Koenig's International News, again, that's watch.org, W-A-T-C-H, watch.org on the web, and you can sign up for Koenig's Eye View from the White House, and then also his book, which we carried for years here. It's awesome and an ominous book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, because there are consequences when you come up against God's covenant land. Bill Koenig, we will stay in touch. I want to thank you for all that you do, and we will stay in touch. Robert Jeffress is up next. Please don't go away.
And my thesis, Jan, is I believe we have so destroyed the moral and spiritual infrastructure of our country that our collapse is inevitable. When you look what we've done regarding prayer and in the
yes.
school, and the cascading of decisions that came from that decision to remove prayer from the schools. Right now, the attempts that are going on in Oklahoma to remove the Ten Commandments statue, all of these things that are really an effort to separate our nation from its spiritual heritage. You look at the abortion decision, 1.3 million children butchered in the womb every year since Roe v. Wade in 1973. And then thirdly, you look at the increasing moral disorder, the Supreme Court's recent decision to basically destroy the most basic unit of society, the family.
As Christians, we are called to do more than just listen. We are called to act. Every weekend, Coast to Coast, we are keeping you aware so that you can take that next step to act. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
Let me remind you, our weekly releases of Understanding the Times are posted to our website, olivetreeviews.org. There you can download the program at no cost, or you can sign up for our weekly podcast. Either way, you'll stay connected to this ministry. Visit us online at olivetreeviews.org. You can order a CD recording of this program. Just call 763-559-4444. You can support this ministry financially. Please mail your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Still to come this hour, Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. Dr. Jeffress will be one of the speakers during our Metro Minneapolis conference this fall. Please stay with us for more details on that October 2nd and 3rd event. Our 19th Understanding the Times conference is planned for October 2nd and 3rd in the Metro Minneapolis area, and we hope you can attend. The event will be live streamed this fall for a nominal cost. Watch our website for details. There is no cost or registration needed for our conference. Here is our lineup of speakers. Dr. Robert Jeffress.
My own reading of the book of Revelation is, when I look at that final form of government in the world during the last 7 years, it is a dictatorship under Antichrist, in which there's no freedom of commerce, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, which means when the Antichrist takes power, our Constitution will have had to have been done away with by that point. And once the Constitution ceases to exist, America ceases to exist.
Pastor Jack Hibbs.
In all that's going on in the world right now, believe it or not, God is at work. He's preparing things. We are not sensationalists on one end. We're not skeptics on the other end. What are we? We're watching God set the stage.
Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
As we look at this situation with Iran, we already have history that nuclear facilities have successfully been taken out historically. So we know that that's how you stop a nuclear program. You bomb it. People say, well, you'll start World War III. That's what Bill O'Reilly said to me. Well, I'm just here to say, Iran wants to start World War III.
Amir Sarfati.
And so once you see that the people of Israel miraculously were brought back to their land, then you know that we're at the very last hour. And we are, ever since 1948.
Won't you join 3,000 attendees this fall? We will help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and be watchmen on the wall. We live in unprecedented times. Join us as we unravel today's headlines in light of the Bible. For more information, call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or visit our website, olivetreeviews.org.
While others are trying to keep you safe with radio, we are keeping you aware with radio. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
When Jesus talks about our being salt, a preservative in this culture, what he's talking about is God's people pushing back against evil, trying to give this world a little longer before it collapses so that people can hear the gospel. And that is why it is so critical, Jan, for Christians not to just get in their holy huddles and say to the world, oh, please don't hurt us, but we're to be proactive forces fighting evil and trying to prevent the premature collapse of our culture.
You see him quite often on the Fox News Channel. He's a regular contributor to several Fox programs. Dr. Robert Jeffress is an outspoken critic of our government's policies toward the Middle East and national policies concerning moral issues. He'll be joining us October 2nd and 3rd as one of our speakers during our fall conference. Now let's join Jan Markell and Dr. Robert Jeffress.
And welcome back. And as most of you know, we've got a major conference coming up in early October, October 2nd, 3rd, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. That's right outside Minneapolis. Our speakers will be Dr. Robert Jeffress, who's going to be joining me in seconds, Pastor Jack Hibbs, California, former Representative Michelle Bachmann, and Amir Sarfati, Messianic Jewish prophecy teacher from Israel. The programming will be live streamed. It's a small charge. It'll be 30-day access for the live streaming. Look it up at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. My guest for the balance of the program is the familiar voice of Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas. He is one of my speakers, as I just said, and we have carried his book for many months, and that would be the latest book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, Why ISIS and Ebola Are Only the Beginning. And like many Christian leaders, he is outspoken about the issues of the day. He feels that America has ceded control to the godless, and I would agree. And he says our forefathers fled the kind of coercion going on in the country today. And like this ministry, he reminds us that we should expect some of the antics going on today as we are late on the eschatological clock. The Lord's return is imminent. Certain things are predicted for the last days. We'll talk about that in the next two segments. Dr. Robert Jeffress, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Great to be with you, Jan. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Jeffress, you say that we are between an explosion and an implosion. What do you mean by that? And for one thing, implosion is a very strong word, but what do you mean? We're between an explosion and an implosion.
Well, I plan to talk about this in depth at the conference in October. But, you know, to put it very simply, you know, an explosion is the destroying of the infrastructure. An implosion occurs when a building collapses under its own weight. And my thesis, Jan, is I believe we have so destroyed the moral and spiritual infrastructure of our country that our collapse is inevitable. When you look what we've done regarding prayer and in the school and the cascading of decisions that came from that decision to remove prayer from the schools. Right now, the attempts that are going on in Oklahoma to remove the Ten Commandments statue, all of these things that are really an effort to separate our nation from its spiritual heritage. You look at the abortion decision, 1.3 million children butchered in the womb every year since Roe v. Wade in 1973. And then thirdly, you look at the increasing moral disorder, the Supreme Court's recent decision to basically destroy the most basic unit of society, the family. We can talk about that more in a bit.
Yes.
This whole legitimization of gay marriage has tremendous sociological ramifications for families and for children. And my thesis is you're not going to get the genie back in the bottle on any of those issues. We have destroyed the moral infrastructure of our country. Our collapse is coming. We're living in that time right before the collapse. And that can be good news for Christians if we seize that opportunity and use it to share the love and truth of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And Dr. Jeffress, there are millions of righteous people in this country, for that matter, all around the world. But let's focus on America. So there are millions of Bible-believing Christians who are not bowing the knee to Baal. They're remaining righteous. They're fasting and praying for this country, and that surely must make a difference. And then you cite, and I'm so glad you did, with Nineveh, God changed his mind.
Well, that's right. And I don't understand the mind of God, how God changed his mind. He said he was going to destroy Nineveh, but yet Jonah 3:10 says God relented of his decision because of the righteous actions of Jonah. And what's interesting, Jan, is God did ultimately destroy Nineveh. He just gave Nineveh longer
to hear the message
and repent. And I think in the same way, when Jesus talks about our being salt, a preservative in this culture, what he's talking about is God's people pushing back against evil, trying to give this world a little longer before it collapses so that people can hear the gospel. And that is why it is so critical, Jan, for Christians not to just get in their holy huddles and say to the world, oh, please don't hurt us, but we're to be proactive forces fighting evil and trying to prevent the premature collapse of our culture.
I want to play a soundbite. It's of you, and you talk about being proactive. Of course, you've got a, if I can say, you've got a cooperative congregation, and they're behind your activism, and you are an activist, and they're very much behind and support your outspokenness.
Yes.
This was a message that you gave just a couple of weeks ago. This was very near the 4th of July.
A year and a half ago, our guest speaker and I were in the green room at Fox Studios in New York getting ready to appear on Gretchen Carlson's program. We had a few minutes there, and so I asked Tony Perkins, would you consider coming the last Sunday of July in 2015 to be our special speaker at our Freedom Service. Tony checked his calendar and he said he would be happy to accept the invitation. Little did we know a year and a half ago that that Sunday we chose, this Sunday, today, would be the first Sunday after the greatest, most historic, landmark blunder in the history of the United States Supreme Court. What happened Friday? What happened Friday was nothing short of an affront in the face of Almighty God. And how did our president respond? President Obama responded Friday night by bathing the White House, the People's House, in colors that represent what the Bible calls degradation, depravity, and sexual perversion. And I want to be very clear about this. Regardless of what happened Friday, the First Baptist Church of Dallas is not going to be intimidated. We are not going to be silenced by the liberal left, Barack Obama, or the United States Supreme Court. We are going to continue sharing the love and truth of Jesus Christ. That is our mission. We're not despondent. We're not despondent. We're not discouraged in the least, because everything that happened Friday is simply confirmation of what the Bible says is going to happen before the return of Jesus Christ. And when you're ever tempted to get discouraged, do you remember this? The light shines brightest in the darkness.
Well, that takes me back to my comment about believers. We're trying to make our way through this growing darkness, this growing paganism, literal paganism, which I don't think, Dr. Jeffress, anybody thought was going to come to America, not so suddenly, so abruptly, perhaps in our generation, and yet here it is in full bloom. Believers simply don't know what to do.
They don't. And, you know, Jan, I don't lay the blame for what has happened in our culture at the feet of Barack Obama. I mean, I think he was instrumental in paving the way for the acceptance of gay marriage when he suddenly evolved a couple of years ago in order to get some money from Hollywood for his campaign for the second term. But I don't blame Barack Obama. I don't blame the Supreme Court. I don't blame pagans. I blame the church for this.
Really?
We have raised up a generation of millennials who now support same-sex marriage overwhelmingly. And the reason they support it is they have never heard anything to the contrary in most pulpits today. There are many, many evangelical pulpits today that have been silent on this issue of what the Bible says. And I lay the blame for it at the feet of the church. Look, there are 70 million evangelical voters in America today. Only 35 million of those were registered to vote, and only half of those voted in 2012, and yet I'm not sure people really even knew what the biblical principles were to vote by. So I'm saying, Jan, if the church would do its job of equipping men and women, boys and girls, with the truth of God's word, we could turn the course of this country around overnight.
Well, Dr. Jeffress, there's much the church doesn't want to talk about, and you and I have talked about this before. They don't really want to consider issues of the last days, even though the Bible is about 30% eschatology or end times. Yep. In light of our conversation right now, and you can make this general and you can make this brief, because we don't have time for a full teaching on it, but where do you see America in Bible prophecy?
To be real frank about it,
not
there. Is no America.
There is no
America in Bible prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I can say that with absolute certainty is the final 7 years of the world's history is going to be a dictatorship under the Antichrist. There'll be no freedom of commerce, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion. America won't exist as we know it, because there's going to be that 10-nation confederacy that gives way to the rule of Antichrist. So the real question is going to be, what happened to America? Why in these final 7 years is America no longer a force?
I think, and I'm not sure if I'm quoting you here or not. If I'm quoting you, that's fine. If not, I know I'm paraphrasing you, and that is that God is waking us up and shaking us up so that we'll be looking up, because again, so many people, I think, they're in love with this world, which I can't figure out. I honestly can't. But they don't want to leave the familiarity of what we have here, and God is saying, I want you to long for heaven, for eternity.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's, as you know, what the Bible refers to as the rapture, is the blessed hope. And some people are going to have a very difficult time not hanging on when they're called to be with Christ.
Yes, yes.
It's going to have to pull them by their fingernails away from this world. But, you know, again, the Bible is clear. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And, of course, by the world, he's talking about the world system that's dominated by Satan, something that we're seeing more and more of every day.
There are are more and more people who are speaking out that something is coming, something is wrong. As a matter of fact, Joel Rosenberg, and Joel's been at my conferences twice back in 07 and 2011, and he wrote an article in the last 2 weeks anyway, and it was titled Something is Coming, and I posted that to my website. We posted it to our Facebook. It went completely berserk off the chart because I think readers resonated with the fact that they know that something, we don't know what that something is. We don't know if, again, if it's the implosion you're talking about. He wrote a book titled Implosion, and he cited, just as you cite, the violence exploding in our cities, the abortions that are occurring more than a million a year, marriages and families imploding, and then he cited some of the foreign issues from Iran, who's closing in on the bomb, etc. So, you know, many righteous people, Dr. Robert Jeffress, know that something is wrong. There's a breakdown in society. They simply don't know what to do about it, other than, as you've already suggested, to continue to be salt and light as much as possible and delay the decay. I think they'd like to do more than that. Do you have anything that you counsel your church people?
Well, it's funny. I'm preaching this Sunday from Romans 13.
Yes.
When Paul talks about how the day is drawing near and, you know, arise, sleeper, you know, awake. And Paul, I'm using Paul's passage there about our salvation is nearer today than it's ever been, to call Christians to do three things. He says, in light of the fact that the night is about to end and the day of Christ appearing is dawning, it's time to wake up. It's time to get dressed, and it's time to go to work. That's what he's talking about. It's time to awaken, to realize the time that we're living in. Secondly, it's time to get dressed, so to speak, put off the clothes of the nighttime, immoral behavior, and put on the behavior that's befitting to Christ. And thirdly, it's time to go to work. Work while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. We've got to take advantage of this opportunity, Jan. People are wondering what's happening in the world. This is a great time for us to explain what is happening in the world through the lens of Bible prophecy and what the Scripture says.
I want to play a very short soundbite, and if we have to comment on it on the other side of a break, we can, though we'll have a minute or two here. But this is Dr. James Dobson, because I'm not quite leaving the Supreme Court decision of late June quite yet. And Dr. Dobson weighs in here suggesting what the overall implications of that verdict back in late June would be. And then I want your response, Dr. Jeffress.
I found myself grieving over the implications for our country and for Western civilization. This decision will quickly touch every dimension of American life, and the family will be forever changed. I grieve most for what it will do to our children, our grandchildren, and future generations. They will be taught that right is wrong, and that wrong is right, and that the teachings of Scripture are unreliable and inaccurate. How outrageous it is to me that boys and girls barely out of babyhood are already being introduced in some schools and some states to perverse adult behavior. Soon, public school textbooks throughout the country will be rewritten and re-illustrated to conform to this ruling. It matters not that these revisions will contradict the beliefs and the convictions of their parents. It's already become the law of the land. Many adopted kids will grow up in homes with same-sex parents, lacking either masculine or feminine role models. They're among the saddest victims of this ruling. Adults will suffer too. Every indication is that a barrage of court cases has been planned and will quickly be filed against those who hold to politically incorrect views of marriage. Many of us will be dragged into court to be prosecuted or subjected to civil judgments. Some will lose their jobs. Some will lose their professional licenses. Some will be persecuted and ridiculed and fined. Some may go to prison as the years unfold. Since same-sex marriage has now been determined to be a universal human right by the highest court in the land, it will trump religious liberty and affect churches, seminaries, ministries, Christian schools, businesses, hospitals, charities, and many other institutions. The tax-exempt status of each of these entities is at serious risk. Above all else, I fear that God's judgment will befall this once great nation.
I'm sure you agree with that, Dr. Jeffers.
Well, I do. I talked to Dr. Dobson about an hour after the Supreme Court decision on that Friday. We visited and we talked about many of these things. He's absolutely correct. And maybe after the break, we can talk about two specific implications I think every Christian listening needs to understand. First of all, the effect on children, and secondly, what this is going to do to religious organizations and our free exercise of religion individually. There is no way to overestimate the impact this decision is going to have on religious liberty, and we're already starting to feel the effects of it.
I would like to do that because I just read something this morning from Judicial Watch about the tax-exempt issue is going to become a very, very major issue with tax exemption probably going away in most places. I don't know if that's a week, a month, a year from now, or 5 years from now, but I think it's in process anyway. So we will do that, folks, when I get back. We're going to continue and conclude my discussion, and I'm talking for these two segments with Dr. Robert Jeffress, again, and he's pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas, again, and we've carried his book for a long time now, and the title of that book is Countdown to the Apocalypse. Find that in my store, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, and remember, he's one of my speakers this fall, October 2nd and 3rd, just outside of Minneapolis, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, southwest suburb, along with Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Representative Michelle Bachman, and Israeli prophecy teacher Amir Sarfati from Behold Israel, the name of his ministry. There's no charge, there's no registration, you just show up. Remember, our first hotel sold out in May, so we have two more hotels, olivetreeviews.org, or call my office, and we'll give you all the information necessary. If you can't access it online, give us a call, and we'll help you with any of the questions you might have. And again, we're live streaming it for just $25. You can access those messages for 30 days, the live streaming messages. And again, olivetreeviews.org. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. We'll wrap this up. It'll be a real short segment with Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. Don't go away.
Don't forget, you can order Robert Jeffress' latest title, Countdown to the Apocalypse, Why ISIS and Ebola Are Only the Beginning. You can find it in our online bookstore, olivetreeviews.org. We are so thankful to the Lord that He has blessed us in reaching this country with the inconvenient truth on over 800 stations across the nation. Our desire is to continue to grow in new media markets that do not have a program like Understanding the Times Radio. Our job is to be a watchman on the wall. All America needs to hear the messages being presented here each week. In order for us to reach more people, we will need more financial underwriters. Please consider today how you can partner with us. Will you pray for us that God will use this ministry to awaken the church and bring this nation back to Himself? Will you become our financial partner to help us reach America? Please send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. For more information about this ministry or upcoming conference this fall, join us on the web at olivetreeviews.org. Remember, you can always reach us by phone at 763-559-4444. We'll be right back with more from Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Recently, Holocaust survivor Anita Dittman received the Heroine of the Faith Award from Bot Radio Network at National Religious Broadcasters. Now, you can read or view her amazing story for a donation of any amount to Olive Tree Ministries. If you live in the U.S., just ask for her book or 75-minute documentary DVD as our gift to you to keep our radio ministry on the air this summer. Anita has powerfully moved audiences for 35 years all across America and on Christian radio and TV. It is a God-exalting story which I had the privilege of writing for Tyndale House some years ago. It is now updated, and the DVD by George Escobar is stunning. Write us with your tax-deductible donation at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also give online at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444.
As Justice Kennedy pointed out in the oral arguments, this whole idea of same-sex marriage is a recent phenomenon. It hasn't been with us for thousands or hundreds of years or even decades. The first same-sex marriage was at the beginning of the 21st century. So this is a new phenomenon. And yet, in Scandinavian countries that have legalized same-sex marriage, they found that as a result, not that many gay couples actually ended up getting married. What they found was the number of heterosexuals marrying decreased precipitously. And the reason is clear. If marriage is anything you want it to be, two men, two women, three men and a woman, if it's whatever you construct it to be, why bother to get married at all?
Let's rejoin our conversation today with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
And welcome back. And as I went out of that segment, gave you a little bit of tease about what we're going to come back and talk about. Let me just read a headline here. This comes from, I believe it's Time.com. It's written by a Christian, however. And the headline is, Orthodox Christians must now learn to live as exiles in our own country. And he goes on to say, no, the sky is not falling, not yet anyway, but with the Supreme Court ruling constitutionalizing same-sex marriage, the ground under our feet has shifted tectonically. And yes, we are on a slippery slope, and this will lead to other, can I just be blunt and say, perversions, and from including physician-assisted suicide, the genie is out of the bottle, polygamy, pedophilia, all sorts of perversions are, well, they're probably on the horizon to be legitimized and approved of. As we went out of that segment, we talked a little bit about tackling the issue of religious liberty, because it's at stake, friends, it is at stake. And Dr. Jeffress, you go ahead with your thoughts on this, because I played that soundbite of Dobson, you had talked to him that day, and go ahead, share what's on your heart.
Well, the big question I know a lot of Christians have is, okay, so what? If gays want to marry, how does that affect me? And I'll mention just two ways. Mm-hmm. First of all, Dr. Dobson talked about the impact this has on children and therefore the impact on society. Look, we already know how this story ends.
We do.
The Hoover Institute actually did a study of what happened in Scandinavian countries that legalized same-sex marriage. And by the way, as Justice Kennedy pointed out in the oral argument, this whole idea of same-sex marriage is a recent phenomenon. It hasn't been with us for thousands or hundreds of years or even decades. The first same-sex marriage was at the beginning of the 21st century. So this is a new phenomenon. And yet, in Scandinavian countries that have legalized same-sex marriage, they found that as a result, not that many gay couples actually ended up getting married. What they found was the number of heterosexuals marrying decreased precipitously. And the reason is clear. If marriage is anything you want it to be, two men, two women, three men and a woman, if it's whatever you construct it to be, why bother to get married at all? I don't think it's any coincidence that last year the U.S. had its lowest marriage rate in 93 years. And so what you have is you have children being born into single-parent households. That's creating all kind of societal discord. And whenever you say that two men can rear a child just as effectively as a man and a woman, what you're really saying is a child doesn't need one or the other of its biological parents. And in my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, I quote Sarah McClanahan, a sociologist from Princeton University, who said, if we were trying to design the ideal environment in which to rear a child, it would be one in which the child was connected to both of its biological parents. Well, gee, that kind of sounds like a family to me, doesn't
it,
Jude?
It does.
So I think there are going to be severe sociological consequences, but I think what every Christian listening to right now needs to understand is the effect on religious liberty this is going to have. You know, Friday night, when this decision came out, that Friday night, I was debating the pastor of the largest gay church in America, and he was talking about how we need to be tolerant and kind of giving me a lecture on tolerance. And so I said, well, let me ask you how tolerant you are. Do you think those two bakers in Oregon who had to lose their business because they wouldn't bake a cake for a lesbian wedding, do you think they should have their business closed because of that? And Jan, he wouldn't answer my question. I asked him three times. He wouldn't answer the question because, in fact, he thought that couple should have their business shut down. And this is where this is going. I mean, our listeners need to understand something. In this Supreme Court decision, Justice Kennedy kind of, you know, threw an olive branch at Christians and said, well, churches still have the right to advocate their position. But as Justice Roberts noted, he said nothing about the right of individual Christians to freely exercise their religion. And that's what the First Amendment is all about. The First Amendment doesn't talk about the freedom of worship, that is, the right to worship God in your church, synagogue, or home. It talks about the guarantee of the free exercise of religion. Our faith is meant to be more than something we do in church. We exercise our faith in every part of our life. And as Chief Justice Roberts noted, Kennedy was silent about that, and the silence was ominous. Mm. And I think this is what you're going to see. You know, I hear this argument till I want to throw up, Jan. People say, and they've said to me on television, well, nobody's going to put a gun to your head and make you marry a gay couple. Nobody's arguing that. Nobody's going to put a gun to my head and make me do that. But what government can do is impose sanctions against Christian businesses, individuals, and eventually churches that will deny this new civil right. And by enshrining gay marriage as a civil right, anybody who opposes same-sex marriage is going to be seen guilty of opposing the civil right. The government cannot and will not allow that to happen.
As Dr. Dobson said, and you are essentially saying the same thing, real persecution is coming. And he suggested jail could be awaiting some of us. Everything, ministries, churches, businesses, schools, charities, my ministry are going to be affected. Posting a story on a website, if I post headlines here on my website, it's going to probably be monitored. Tax-exempt status is definitely going to be at stake. This is a new day.
It is. And look, I have been ridiculed on every liberal blog out there for saying on Hannity a few weeks ago that Christians are being marginalized today in our society just as the Jews were in the pre-Holocaust days in Germany. You know, Jan, you know this from history.
Yeah.
The Nazis didn't take the Jews to the crematorium immediately. The Germans wouldn't have allowed for that. Instead, the Nazis began a program of making the Jews objects of contempt and ridicule, first of all. And then once they succeeded and marginalized them, they were able to take away their ultimate rights. Well, I've been ridiculed for saying that Christians were like that. I talked to a couple last week in Maine, a pastor and his wife. They came up to me weeping. They said their little church in Maine had taken a position against same-sex marriage, and the church was painted with a swastika for doing so. Now, how's that for tolerance? Anybody who doesn't believe Christians are being marginalized right now, they have their head in the sand.
I have that quote in front of me by you, Dr. Jeffress, compared to America's growing intolerance towards biblical viewpoints to Nazi Germany's marginalization of Jews. And it's true, and I'm a student of World War II. I can verify that is absolutely true. Dr. Jeffress, when men rebel against God, I think you said this in your book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, when men rebel against God, the whole world suffers. The whole world suffers. Look at the days of Noah back then. Of course, now they're back, but the whole world is suffering.
Well, it is. And when this decision came out in my op-ed piece for Fox News about it, I said this decision represents a collective shaking of our fist in the face of God that says, we don't care what you say. This is what we're going to do. And I'm telling you, Jan, that kind of rebellion is not going to continue without a response from God.
That's right.
I don't know how God's going to respond. He hasn't told me privately how he's going to respond. But if you know the Bible, you know God will not leave that kind of rebellion unanswered.
Dr. Jeffress, I think we need to somehow wind this up on a, you know, this might sound strange, on a positive note. And I know that, again, we're to be here to be the preservative. I get that. And I think every listener gets that too. But the bottom line is a lot of Christians, and I opened with this, a lot of Christians are having a tough time coping because you get up and you see the next headline for the day, and it's another shocker, and we go away shaking our head. How can we make any difference in a world that has gone out of control? Frankly, because the hour is so late, that's why it's gone out of control. Why don't you wrap this up with an encouragement?
Well, look, I think one reason a lot of Christians are discouraged is they felt like we were, you know, the moral majority. We were in the majority, and I think now suddenly Christians have awakened to the fact that we're certainly not now. I'm not sure we ever were in the true majority. We are in a definite minority right now. But you know what? Here's the hopeful note. Christians have always done better when they're in the minority rather than the majority in name only. And I just remind people, you know, it only took 12 committed people to turn the world upside down for Christ. And, I mean, if your goal in life is peace, prosperity, pleasure, and the avoidance of pain, these are terrible times in which to be a Christian. But if your goal in life is to make Christ known to as many people as possible, why, there's never been a better time to do that. You know, Paul lived in a much more decadent culture than we do. Nero was the Roman emperor, and yet he said to the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, in the midst of this perverse and crooked generation, you are to be children of light, holding forth the word of life. And that's what we're going to be talking about at the conference in October. This isn't going to be a downer message that I'm bringing. This is an encouragement about what we can be doing right now in what I believe are the last days.
Let me just go out of this program saying this, folks, and again, my thanks to Dr. Robert Jeffress for all he does as a spokesman for all of us. He has a microphone and a megaphone, probably larger than many of us do, but as we stated, God wants us to loosen our grip on this earth. It is growing dark here, so we won't remain attached to this place. God is waking us up and shaking us up so that we'll be looking up. And you know what? I've said this before, the greatest separation of church and state is ahead, and it's called the rapture. And in the meantime, since I'd like to emphasize that, look back and thank him, look around, serve him, look ahead and trust him, and continue to look up and expect him. He is coming again. We'll talk to you next week.
God, before time, we are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. You can download today's edition from our website, olivetreeviews.org. You can also order a compact disc recording of today's program by calling 763-559-4444. When you phone, be sure to ask about a monthly program subscription. You can help underwrite this ministry with a tax-deductible donation. As a thank you for your support, we are offering Anita Dittmann's biography, Trapped in Hitler's Hell. Anita's book or her 75-minute video documentary can be yours for a gift to Olive Tree Ministries of any size. When you phone 763-559-4444 with your gift, tell us if you prefer Anita's book or her DVD. This offer is only available to residents of the United States. Your financial support is also welcome at our mailing address, Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Next week, Jan Markell returns with more Inconvenient Truth. Thanks for listening.